Father God, thank you so much that you are a good God, a perfect Father, and you want the best for your children. Father, we pray today that amongst all the distractions and the change, Lord, you'd help us to concentrate on you, listen to your word, Father. And I pray for help, Lord, for myself as I preach now, that I would speak truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke starts this passage by saying to us, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, that request is really interesting, because the disciples were Jewish, and they would have grown up reciting Psalms in the Jewish synagogue. I mean, many of them had memorized prayers from childhood. They'd watch priests and Pharisees pray these long, eloquent prayers in public. And they'd probably prayed hundreds of times themselves. So this is an odd question. Jesus, teach us to pray. But the thing that the passage wants us to see this morning, what God wants us to see, is that Jesus prays very differently to how anyone else prayed at that time. As they watched Jesus praying, they saw an intimacy that he had with God. They saw a closeness that they'd not seen before. And they saw Jesus had this familiarity that they hadn't had before. They saw Jesus speaking as children do to their parents. And it stirred something in them. And so when we read, Lord, teach us to pray, we actually need to look at that verse and think, Lord, teach us to pray like you do. That's what they're asking. Jesus, teach us to pray like you do. Not like everyone else does, but like you do. And that's the point of our passage. That's where we start this morning, is the disciples are asking Jesus for his help, and Jesus responds to their needs. And so it's quite like when we ask for help, Jesus responds to our needs. Jesus wants his disciples, and he wants you all to know this morning, and for me to know, that prayer is not just about what you say. Prayer is not a set formula. Prayer is not a ritual that you check off. All right, I've done that for the morning. I've said the right words. Prayer actually looks like a child speaking to their father. So my first point is prayer is about relationship with our perfect father. Prayer is about relationship with our perfect father. Jesus says, when you pray, you can call God your father. So you don't need to begin your prayers necessarily with, O Lord of Lords, O mighty Judge, O all-powerful Creator. Though, of course, God is all those things. You can simply call to your Father, and he will hear you. Now, I don't want to underestimate, that is radical teaching. Absolutely radical. Who has ever dared called Almighty God Father? Nobody. And so Jesus is teaching, as he did in so many ways, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of speaking to God. I want you to think about that for a moment. There's no other religion or faith in the world, even today, that tolerates calling God my Father. There is no other religion in the world that tolerates having a relational understanding of who God is. And yet the very first thing Jesus teaches us about the way he prays is that we can be in relationship with God as our Father. A relationship is not a ritual. It's a freedom. It's not tradition. Prayer is not about repeating words in repetition or chanting them over and over again. Prayer is not about being articulate and a compelling communicator, having persuasive and long-sounding words. Prayer for the Christian is about knowing who you're speaking to and being familiar with him. We're speaking directly to a perfect and loving Father, and Jesus wants us to know that. Now, when I say the word Father this morning, all of us here will have different reactions to that word. You may be sitting next to your father this morning. Maybe your father, though, was absent, harsh, or maybe distant to you. Maybe he was good, but imperfect, as all fathers are. See, God is not just a bigger version of our earthly dad. The Bible says, and Jesus wants us to know, that God is our perfect father. He is the father that never abandons his children. He never loses his temper unfairly. He never breaks a promise. He never checks out when you're talking to him and doesn't listen. He always has time to listen to his children. He delights in his children, not because we earn it, but because we are his. The truth is that every father is at best a dim reflection of who God is. At worst, some earthly fathers give us scars that make it hard to ever imagine God as our father. And when we become Christians, some of us will struggle knowing that God is a perfect father. You think, well, my father's never been perfect, so how can I relate to this other father? When I was preparing this sermon, I said to my son Johnny, oh, what would make me a perfect dad? And so he thought for a second. He said, well, you'd need to be able to sing well. Harsh, a bit harsh. But anyway, when we come to our perfect father in prayer, we don't come to a distant deity or a harsh master. We come to the father that our hearts have longed for, the perfect father who loves, protects, provides, and delights in his children. So think to yourself this morning, I wish my dad was like X or Y or Z. God can be all those things for you. I don't remember in John chapter 14 when another of Jesus' disciples, Philip, said to Jesus, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus replied, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Do you remember those verses? That means if you want to know what our true Father is like, we look to Jesus, the living Word. We look at Jesus' compassion. Do you remember that time when he saw crowds weary and helpless? And it said his heart broke for them. He had compassion on them. Or look at his mercy when a woman was caught in adultery and threatened with stoning. Jesus said, I forgive you. Go on your way. We look at Jesus and his strength. When the storm raged, he spoke a word and the sea just went still. We can look at Jesus' justice. When the temple was filled with greed, he overturned the tables and kicked everyone out. And we look at his welcome. Do you remember when Zacharias was up a tree, despised and rejected by his community, and Jesus looked at him and said, today I'm coming to your house to spend time with you because you are valued. That is the heart of the perfect Father we can speak to in prayer at any time of the day or night. And through Jesus, we don't just stand at a distance calling God Father, we're adopted wholesomely into his family. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit is at work in the heart of every believer, teaching us to cry out, Abba, Father. As God's children, we are secure in our Father's love for us. So number two, prayer is about making his priorities our priorities. And that's what Jesus lays out when he now gives us this illustration of prayer. Prayer is about making God's priorities our priorities. As well as knowing God as our perfect Father, Jesus gives us an amazing insight into the heart and priority of what our prayers should be like. If you look at verse 2, the disciples say, teach us to pray like you do. He says in verse 2, when you pray, say, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us give in to temptation. Now you might be familiar with this. The Lord's Prayer is also in Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew's Gospel, it's longer. But here we have a shorter version. And I think that's because Jesus is saying to us, this is not a set formula that you must follow every single time. There are lots of different ways to pray. But let me give you a bit of a framework. Let me give you a bit of a helping hand to help you get started. And you notice as we look at these, they're all requests. They're not thanks or praise. So what is he saying here? Well, firstly, he's saying our first request should be for God's name and God's kingdom. This is God-centered praying. The first half of the prayer, verses 2 to 4, if you're looking in your Bible, is all about his name and his kingdom. And the second half is all about our dependency on him and our dependency on his mercy for us. Hallowed be your name means God is holy, he's set apart, and he's worthy of all our worship and praise. Your kingdom come means God reigns with power and calls us to join his mission to reach the lost. That is very evangelistic, isn't it? Your kingdom come. And then, give us our daily bread. God is our faithful provider in everything. Forgive us our sins. God is full of mercy and ready to forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. God is our protector, guiding us away from what he knows harms us. So the Lord's Prayer is not a shopping list. It's a portrait of who our perfect Father God is. And here's the truth. We will only really ever pray in maturity when our prayers bend towards his will, not ours. Jesus is saying that prayer is, thy will be done, not my will be done. Many people, I think, treat God sometimes like a genie. You rub the lamp, you say the prayer, and you get what you want. The thing is, God is not a genie. He is the Lord who gives us not just what we want, but actually what we most need in this life. And so God doesn't give us luxury on demand. He gives us bread, the thing that we need the most. The genie serves our plan, but the Father God draws us into his plan. And the greatest gift he gives is not stuff, it's himself. And I think the longer we live as Christians, the more we see that, don't we? The greatest gift is not the stuff that God can give me, a new bike or new wheels or whatever. It's him. He gives us himself. And that is the greatest gift we have. So my third point is prayer is about trusting in our Father's generous care for his children. Prayer is about trusting in our Father's generous care for his children. So Jesus, I love this. Jesus sets out two parables to explain what he's talking about. And the first one is about the persistent neighbour. I've modernised this scene, and if you're a grandfather here this morning, maybe you can relate to this. So a grandfather has hosted a big family gathering at the weekend. And to give his son and daughter-in-law a break, he offers to let the grandkids spend the night. Now, it's been a long day. It's been a long, exhausting day. But finally, the grandkids' teeth are brushed. The pyjamas are on. The nightly tug of war over bedtime stories is over. And finally, the children are asleep. The house is quiet. The grandfather sinks into bed, ready for the rest he has earned. The grandmother's there as well, obviously. This is just the grandfather. Everything's quiet, everything's peaceful. And then suddenly, oh, who is that at the front door? It's my neighbour. You know, you look on your Ring doorbell on your camera. Who is that person? It's a neighbour asking for bread. Can you imagine how inconvenient that would be? Who's asking for bread at 12 o'clock at night? And at first, the grandfather obviously doesn't want to get up. But the knocking doesn't stop. It's persistent, it's bold, it's annoying. So eventually, even the reluctant, weary grandfather gets out of bed, opens the door, and helps his neighbour. And here's Jesus' point, straight to it. Even if a tired, grumpy grandfather will eventually help his neighbour, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is never tired, never annoyed, never reluctant, help his children? Right? So Jesus is comparing God with the grumpy grandfather. Love that. Psalm 121 says to us, God never slumbers nor sleeps. A man knocks at midnight asking for bread. The reluctant grandfather opens the door, not because he wants to, but because of the persistence. And Jesus wants to point out there that God is not like the reluctant neighbour. He's quite the opposite. Even if a grumpy man will eventually get up and help, how much more will your perfect Father, who never sleeps or slumbers, answer his children. And we are to pray to our Father persistently and boldly. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I pray, God, please help me in this situation. And then I forget about it. I forget what I've prayed. And then I say to Lorna, well, the Lord hasn't answered my prayer. Well, Jesus' point is that we need to be persistent in asking our Father for what we need. Persistent. Persistently knocking and being annoying to God. He doesn't take it as annoying. We're to pray persistently and boldly. Now, well, as I was praying this sermon, as I do, all these things come into my mind. And I remember being a young child. I lived in Old Windsor, which is a village next to Windsor. And one day, it was a Saturday morning, my brother and I and my parents were in the house, and there was this persistent knocking at the door. And the front door in my house was bolted about five times. That's another story. We never used the front door. And my dad was in the police. That might explain a little bit about it. But there was this persistent knocking at the front door, and none of us went to the front door. And then the knocking continued. And my dad went to the front door, and I remember him saying, keep your hair on, we're opening a door, we're opening a door. And on the other side of the door, there was this screaming and this banging on the door. And what happened was, the new next door neighbours had, the children had been playing, one of the children put a toy in his mouth and swallowed it and was suffocating. And so the mother was absolutely going ballistic, trying to get help. At our house, and eventually we opened the door. My parents went over there, called an ambulance, and the boy made a full recovery. But it just stuck in my mind, that persistent loud banging is exactly what we've got here. There was another occasion when someone banged on the front door. A neighbour had actually chopped his finger off on a saw. That's another story, we won't go into that now. But these things stick in your mind, don't they? Where am I? So, whilst many of us won't experience a persistent neighbour knocking on your door at 3 a.m, God wants us to know, knock on his door persistently and boldly, and he knows what we need He knows exactly what we need. The other thing Jesus wants us to know is, our temptations don't rest. Our anxiety that we suffer in this life doesn't sleep. Fear and discouragement doesn't take holidays, does it? And the devil never stops working against you and I all the time. And so we are to be persistently knocking on our Father's door because we need his protection. We need his help. And like a good father, he will protect us. Our Father is always ready to hear the prayers of his children. If we ask, God will provide. It says here, if we knock, God will open the door. If we seek him, he will allow us to find what we need. So prayer is not an optional extra for God's children. It should be an absolute necessity to us, like the oxygen we breathe. We should realise that we desperately need to speak to our Father God every moment of the day. We really need him. Now, I didn't pray a lot until I realised that I desperately needed God. Because when you're young, you feel self-confident, don't you? You feel like you've got everything you need. You feel like you can handle every situation yourself. And then as you get older and you encounter complications in life and hard times and loss, you really realise you can't do it on your own. You need the Father's help to get through things. And that is exactly where God wants us to be. He wants us to come to us. He wants us to come to him with our broken, complicated and messy lives. And sometimes we forget. We forget that. It's so easy to forget. Some of you will know Tim Keller, who was a pastor in New York, who passed away a couple of years ago now. And he wrote a book with his wife, Kathy Keller, on prayer. But he actually says for the first half of his life, Tim Keller's life, he didn't pray much at all. And he hardly prayed with his wife at all. And then in 2001, Kathy, his wife, was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And Tim was diagnosed for the first time with thyroid cancer. Not long after that, if you remember 2001, in September, there was the deadly events of 9/11 that happened in New York. And so up until this point, Kathy and Tim say in their book that they didn't really pray together. Then Kathy said to Tim one morning, imagine you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that the doctor told you that you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine. a pill every night before going to sleep. Imagine you were told that you could never miss it or you would die. Do you think you'd forget to take that medication? Do you think some nights you wouldn't get round to it? Well, no, absolutely not. It would be so crucial that you wouldn't forget you would ever miss it. And she said to Tim, if we don't pray together to God, we're not going to make it because of all we are facing. I'm certainly not. We have to start praying now. We can't just let it slip our minds. And from that day onwards, Tim and Kathy never missed a night of prayer together. And even when they're away, they text each other in prayer. I think that's really powerful. And I think that's really good for us to reflect on. If we depended on prayer for our lives, we would do it all the time. So try and have that mentality. We need to pray to our Father, and He is willing and waiting to hear us. Secondly, Jesus gives the parable there of the good gifts. He says, which of you parents, if your son or daughter asked for a slice of pizza, would give them a cardboard box labelled Domino's that's empty instead? Or if they asked for a cookie, would you get them a clump of dirt and give that to them? Of course not, Jesus says. Jesus says, even though you as parents are sinful and make plenty of mistakes, you still know how to give good things to your children. Well, how much more then will your heavenly Father give the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask Him? See, Jesus wants us to know that prayer is not about begging blessings from a reluctant hand. Prayer is about asking for help from a generous and loving Father's heart. Our perfect and generous Father never tricks us. He never mocks your prayers, and He never dangles false hope in front of you. He gives us what's best for us, and we need to trust Him, knowing that He has got the best for us in mind. If we ask Him for the Holy Spirit, God delights to give us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the Father's presence living in us, guiding us, strengthening us, and assuring us of our security in the Father's love for us. The Holy Spirit also gives us great joy. Do you get that? When you're reading your Bible during the week or you encounter someone else, spend time with another Christian, you feel that overwhelming sense of joy. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, reminding you, prompting you. So as I conclude, Jesus says to you and me today, let me teach you how to pray. Let me show you what our perfect, kind, generous and loving Father in heaven is like. When you knock on heaven's door, you're not going to find that grumpy grandfather too tired to answer. You're not going to find an imperfect parent trying to antagonize you. You'll find a Father who loves to hear your voice, a Father who will never abandon or leave you. And because of Jesus, who lived, died and rose for us, the door to our Father's house is always open to us. Because of Jesus, God is our Father. Now, as I come to the end, I'd like you to just take a moment of silence. We're going to take communion together in a minute as well. But just speak to your Father this morning for a minute about anything you want to, just for that minute as we come to a close. That conversation that you're having now with the Father can continue for the rest of the day. That is a joy. I wonder, if you find prayer difficult, I'm not doing a survey this morning of how you pray, but if you find prayer difficult, can I just reassure you that even the very act of pressing on in prayer is itself a witness of God's Spirit working in you? That should be a huge encouragement to us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for hearing us this morning. Father, thank you that we can come to you as your children. Please teach us to pray with trust, persistence and joy. Give us today what we need, our daily bread, your forgiveness and your strength. And above all, fill us, please, with your Holy Spirit, that we may live in your love and walk in your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.